Good evening. You're listening to CUER, the Urban Exploration Radio Station. I'm Av, and joining me tonight is Ninj.
Good evening. Today we're going to discuss what we always discuss, urban exploration in all its various shapes and forms.
For those listeners who are unfamiliar with this topic, urban exploration is the exploration of buildings, tunnels, drains, steam tunnels, active sites. Pretty much anywhere where you could possibly go, you can explore it.
And we'll be back to examine that topic in depth after this short break for news.
You're listening to CUER News. The Liberals have made up a list of all the people who they are no longer going to invite for their big birthday party, including members of the NDP, people who didn't vote for them, and people who were mean to them when they were kids.
Local governments in all affected countries have decided to take the tsunami back. Governor Jim Boak explained, "It seemed like a good idea at the time."
A new government bylaw stipulates that all Canadians, regardless of age, must now donate blood. Daily collection trucks will arrive in your neighborhood starting February 15th. Citizens are asked to stand by the curb with forearms bare and outstretched.
And in recent talks, the NHL has rejected the union's latest offer. Apparently, the NHL has something to do with hockey. None of us really like hockey, so whatever.
North American stork markets ended with solid gains and hundreds of new births Monday after better-than-expected stork fertility rates. That's news on CUER.
Hi, Jenny. Did you bring your doll?
Yeah, she talks. See?
Mine used to talk, but my dad used the battery for our smoke alarm. He says it's important.
I got my doll's battery from our smoke alarm. My dad says it's okay.
Is anyone left in the house?
Roger. Second floor, bedroom.
Don't toy with your family's safety. Install smoke alarms and check the batteries regularly.
And we're back. It's very important not to mess around with your smoke alarms. Don't you agree, Ninj?
No, actually, I don't. I think that the batteries that come from smoke alarms tend to be of a higher quality because people, you know, are really concerned about protecting their families. So it's likely you'll get a high-quality alkaline battery in there, like a Duracell or something, that would power a doll for quite a long time.
That's a very good point. You know, I haven't seen many dolls that need 9-volt batteries, but hey, I'm sure they exist somewhere.
Oh, yeah. They're becoming all the rage these days. A lot of them actually shoot lasers out of their eyes, which is fun.
You know,
something of a fire hazard.
I guess the latest incarnation of the Kirby has dolls like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry, batteries.
Yes.
Well, anyway, they say that urban exploration is the most exciting thing to ever happen on this earth, but we think that understates the case. We've decided to hold a round table discussion about this issue, but we couldn't find a round table, so here we are at this rectangular desk. Infiltration is a popular zine about the hobby of urban exploration. So, Ninj, how did you start this zine? Kind of what inspired you?
Well, actually, it all started when I became obsessed with the Royal York Hotel in downtown Toronto. And I was obsessively taking pictures of it and having various adventures in my quest to get to know the whole place. And I went through, I don't know, 4 or 5 big rolls of film and wrote long captions and stories on the back of each of the photographs that turned out, and started showing them to a few friends, even though I was a little bit embarrassed to do so.
I can imagine they probably would have wondered, you know, what's going on?
Well,
why are you showing us pictures of machine rooms?
Yeah, they did. But they kind of thought it was cool, too, because there were some good stories. I was worried that they would think I was a total freak, but they only thought I was something of a freak. Anyhow, basically after I'd told the stories, you know, 6 times, I got sick of telling them over and over again, and I thought, hey, maybe it would make sense just to photocopy this, give it to people, and then I could stop repeating myself all the time.
So, essentially, the zine was started as a time-saving measure on your part.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Interesting. Well, I know that I and many thousands of others have enjoyed that zine over the years, and I guess we're glad that back then you were just a little too lazy to tell the story many times.
Well, it's a real pain to tell a story that many times, and I think I probably won't answer that question you asked me anymore.
All right. Well, I won't ask you anymore then.
Okay. Maybe I'll ask you one then. Your website, UER, is probably without question the biggest and most popular urban exploration website these days. I would like to know what aspect of the site you are most proud of.
Well, that's an interesting question. Probably what I'm the most happy about with what it turned out. I mean, it's not like I had any kind of master plan, but I'm very happy with the fact that the site has affected so many people in a positive way. And it certainly has affected people in a negative way, but I could list off names for an hour of people who have met various friends or loved ones through that site, who have started new meet locations, who have found new places to explore or new people to explore with. It's been a positive influence on the life of so many people, myself included, and not just because I'm the one who created it. You know, it's created by the various content contributors, and without them, without all the thousands of people who visit the site daily, you know, it wouldn't really be there. So I'm very proud of the whole thing, but the population is what makes it great, and I think that together they've helped each other, and that's what I'm the most proud of.
Yeah, that's really impressive. I think it's entirely true that almost everyone who's had contact with UER has benefited from it, except for a few pretty sour people who are determined to have bad experiences wherever they go.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I could tell you stories of various people who have come to the site for the sole purpose of causing trouble. I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I was wondering, you know, you've got thousands of users registered and hundreds who are regulars, at least to visit, if not to speak. Does your board support itself yet?
Well, as you may or may not know, I do accept donations, essentially people who feel that the site has benefited them enough that they want to help pay for it. And I also resell hosting on the same server. At this time, the site almost supports itself. My monthly expenses almost are covered by the various money that comes in from all over the world. I've tried to entice people to donate more frequently by adding benefits and features that are received if you do send in money. But I'm also making sure that any money that's sent in is spent properly. I upgrade the server. I actually just recently upgraded it thanks to a surplus of funds that I had. So it's nice not to have a huge credit card debt every month just from the site,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, you know, I'm not the only one who makes good use of that site.
No,
so.
Definitely not. I'd say a lot of your users use it a lot more than you do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually, to be quite honest, I spend only maybe an hour a day on my site, and I've seen maybe 5% of all of the content that's on the site.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something like 70,000 images that have been uploaded. So there are people that have gone through and looked at every single one of those,
mm-hmm.
which I think is insane.
I think there are quite a few people who pretty much live on your site throughout their workday.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, there's a version of the site which allows you to use it while at work without being noticed. It has like charts and graphs to make it look like it belongs on your screen,
mm-hmm.
which was actually quite popularly received.
Yeah, that's fun stuff.
Well, I was actually going to ask you, with your magazine Infiltration, has it caused you any legal stress? The hobby of urban exploration can definitely be seen in the eyes of the law as a negative thing. I mean, some of them will say that you were breaking into buildings or stealing or whatever. So there's definitely some legal issues that might arise from the hobby. So I wanted to ask, have you had any issues, problems, or emails received?
I mean, obviously, doing the activities that add up to the zine, I've had a few problems, but from the publication itself and the related website, fewer problems. There was an organization that billed itself as the Canadian Association of Internet Providers, which I think was a relatively small Mississauga-based group of malcontents, and they harassed me for quite a while. Basically, every Canadian ISP I moved to, they would relentlessly nag those people to stop hosting what they saw as illegal content and incitement to commit crimes and things like that. And pretty much everyone caved in. And, yeah, so I eventually found I had to move outside of Canada into the U.S., where things were a little trickier and they couldn't harass me as easily.
I'm actually surprised. I would have thought that in the U.S. the hosting would have been more difficult to sustain.
Yeah, you'd think so, because you think the U.S. would have stricter rules about that sort of thing, but I think it was basically this particular group, which was Canada only, had a grudge against me for some reason, and it just didn't follow me across the border.
On that subject, I personally believe that information should be free, and thankfully my current host on UER follows that same principle. I actually have spoken to him numerous times and said, what is your opinion on this topic? And he says, well, as long as it's not illegal, like as long as the content itself isn't illegal, then I'm totally fine with it. But on your site specifically, you have, I believe, a clause that says that there is no disclaimer, which is something that's quite different from most other UE sites out there. Other UE sites will say, we don't recommend partaking in these activities. Maybe you could discuss why your site is different.
Well, I'm just trying to be honest, I guess. I think that most of those other sites who say something like, we don't condone this, please never do this, let us do it for you, or whatever. They're not really telling the truth. I think in most cases, you know, people feel like you and I do and want to sort of spread the gospel and tell people what a great hobby this is, because it's too good to hog it to ourselves.
Oh, definitely. I myself owe my involvement in this hobby to a website by the name of Urban Exploration Canada, UEC. Had I not found them, I actually found Infiltration first, but if it wasn't for UEC, I probably would have never actually gone out and started exploring on my own.
Mm. Yeah, and, you know, I needed a lot of help, too, in various forms. I'm not going to lie to people and say, oh, this hobby is illegal, immoral, don't touch it with a 10-foot pole, when I actually think it's a really great thing.
Okay, we're going to stop for a short break now.
Toronto Police Service introduces Officer Blair.
Throughout the cold winter season, many of the streams, lakes, and rivers will ice over. Outdoor activities like tobogganing and ice skating often take place in areas like this. They are not safe and should be avoided. Tell your children that these are not safe places to play and to stay away. Let's make winter safety a family project. By working together, we will make a difference.
Hun, let's play a game. Put this blindfold on.
Ooh, blindfold. I like the sound of that.
Now, you have to get to the front door without taking it off. I'll time you. Go.
If your home caught fire, could you and your family get out in time?
How'd I do?
3 minutes. Not bad. But in less than one, the house would have been filled with thick smoke. And finding your way out would be like...
wearing a blindfold. I get it. Do I get a prize?
Uh-huh. Your life.
Make a fire escape plan. Practice it, just in case.
Well, we're back. Actually, a lot of urban explorers wear blindfolds. I think it has a negative effect on the hobby. It makes us look like Robin Hoods or thieves or something. What do you think about that?
Well, it's true that a lot of people do die unnecessarily, but on the other hand, I think it's the responsible thing to do, because you always have to be ready in case there's a fire and you've already taken out the battery to power your child's doll.
Yes, that's very true. So, I was going to ask you about your thoughts on pierogies. Now, there's a lot to say about pierogies in relation to urban exploration, especially the creamy filling found in many of the types. What are your insights on this?
Well, I don't want to get too deeply involved in, the controversies regarding pierogies. I think I'll stick to just discussing the savory, not the sweet. I'm a big fan of cheddar cheese pierogies. I don't like cottage cheese pierogies very much.
Mm-hmm.
And sweet potato is just fine.
It's a good choice.
Yes. Well, they're very good when you make them yourself, or if you have an actual Ukrainian or Polish person make them for you.
Oh, really? I have to try that.
Yeah. The kind that you buy in a bag from a freezer at, like, a Costco or something like that. Less delicious.
That's a very good point. I'll keep that in mind, definitely.
Please do. Please do. And, you know, that seems to naturally lead to the next question, which is, where do you see urban exploration going in the next 10 or 20 years? Do you think its popularity will affect it negatively?
You know, it's a very difficult question to answer because thanks in part to the popularity that urban exploration has received over the past 5 years, I myself have gotten into the hobby. So it's arguable whether popularity is a positive or a negative influence on the hobby. My personal thoughts on that are that there will always be something to explore, and there's always going to be anything to explore, even if it's not a place that will be always available. For example, I recently explored a new place in Oshawa, which recently closed, and it's probably not going to be available as an exploration location for longer than a couple months, but I think that if it was totally posted publicly everywhere and printed in zines and everything about that location, that it would get shut down as a location a lot faster. But I'm interested in your thoughts on this topic.
I would find it tough to predict anything so far in the future as 20 years with the rapidity which things are changing these days, but I think I feel safe in saying in 10 years the hobby will be better off than it is today.
Better, you say?
Better, yeah. Bigger and better, I would say. As long as we can keep from fracturing into, you know, an elite group and a less elite group and things like that, and the people who are more experienced can keep their snobbery in check and just help those who are less experienced instead of disdaining them.
Well, one major advantage that we've already seen that popularity and a more connected community has created is the Urban Exploration Convention, affectionately known as OPEX, Office Products Expo, which was held last year in June, and it was attended by, I believe, over 70 attendees.
Yeah, in grand total, yes.
Now, we're talking about people who came from all over Canada, as far north as Alaska, from Denmark, from Australia, from all over the U.S. It was an incredible event, and I'm just glad that I was part of it. And I know so many people who were in the city at the time and just missed out because they kind of forgot about it, or they were like, it's not going to be that great. So there's a definite positive influence that urban exploration has had through it being popular. People have been able to find each other with more ease.
Absolutely. I can remember the really early days when I was starting the zine, and this was before the name urban exploration had really stuck. I had used the term among a lot of other terms.
I believe you are one of the people who's credited with inventing that term.
I think I did casually, but, you know, I never dubbed it as such or officially or anything like that. I used a lot of terms like recreational trespassing and infiltration and all that stuff.
I think those terms are good, but as a term as a whole, urban exploration fills the shoes very well because it covers all of the forms. I mean, infiltration is often used to describe the exploration of an active location, such as a hotel.
Absolutely.
Trespassing or recreational trespassing, as you said, would probably be used for an abandoned site.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of people go exploring without doing much trespassing.
Oh, definitely. I've done, like, guided tours of active power plants.
Yeah.
And they were incredible, and I would consider that urban exploration, even
Absolutely.
Though I wasn't breaking any rules.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I'm quite happy with the way that popularity has been taking the future of the hobby.
Yeah, obviously there are some growing pains and negative side effects. Sure, people fight and people feel left out, you know, because they got in on the ground floor and now they feel a little left by the wayside or something like that. But
a lot of people feel that they had to work really hard to become a member of the greater community as a whole to even find out about it, and now it's becoming more easy, and they feel like, you know, all their work was for nothing.
Right. And I unfortunately, you know, I they're not exactly wrong, but it's a bit of a selfish thing to care about too much. They should just be happy that they're sharing something wonderful with a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, even the OPEX that we held last year, a lot of the people who didn't come wasn't because they didn't want to, but because they were feeling a little snobbish and they didn't think that it was on their level, I suppose.
Mm.
I know a few people who were like, oh, you know, I don't think I'm going to go because it's just, you know, it's not my kind of thing or whatever. And then,
but the way to make it your kind of thing is to participate more.
Oh, definitely.
Everyone was welcome to do that.
Definitely.
And I just hope that that's the attitude that will prevail in the long run.
I'm looking forward to looking at the future with, I mean, there's a lot of great things I personally have planned for UER, which I think will benefit the community as a whole. I'm looking forward to implementing some new ideas, to getting some more feedback.
And I'm looking forward to hopefully 9 years from now when maybe they'll throw a big bash in honor of OPEX 2004.
That would be great. 10-year anniversary. So moving right along to our next topic.
We have no other topics.
Well, there's a big discussion about ethics. Perhaps we could touch upon that.
Ah, the ethics.
It seems to me that this is a favorite topic, or less favorite topic in your eyes.
No, actually, I like discussing ethics. You know, it wears you down, but it's so important that it's worth talking about.
Just to bring everybody up to speed, one of the main disagreements throughout the world of urban exploration is ethics, as in whether or not you should break any laws to do your exploring. And I'm not talking about trespassing. I'm talking about whether or not you should break windows, or whether you should rip open a door, or more importantly, whether you should take anything that you find. If you are in an abandoned locale and you find a map or a sign, or even if you're in a hotel and you see some towels or some food, is it okay to take it? And what are the implications? What are the problems in doing so?
Right. And as I've always tried to remember to confess in the various discussions we've had on this topic, you know, I have done these things in my past. Certainly, I think the unfortunate thing is a lot of people sort of do what feels right to them and what feels fun to them, and then later on form their ethical code based on what they've done.
Right.
And I think it makes a lot more sense to sit back, consider what you believe in, what you think is right and wrong, form your ethical code based on that, and then match your actions up to that accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely admit I have taken things from buildings in the past. I have stolen, and that is the word, it's stealing, even if it's something that you don't think anyone will miss. I have stolen signs and papers and, you know, various other objects, which in the end maybe nobody would miss them, but it doesn't change the fact. And in fact, I have personally suffered some legal problems over this, in which I was exploring with a small group of people in a well-known Toronto location, and one of the people in our group had taken some items, very small, worthless items, but we were actually caught by the security guards, and they performed an illegal search and, of course, found those items. And that immediately escalated the situation from simple exploring to, you know, breaking and entering or whatever they want to say, and more importantly, theft. Thankfully, the police officers realized that the items were completely worthless, and they let us go with a warning. But it could have been so much worse. We could have been hauled off into jail that night.
Absolutely. There are a lot of really good practical reasons on top of all the ethical reasons. And, you know, I it's tough because when people talk about, oh, there were 100,000 train schedules in the station and I took one of them, you know, it's hard to say, well, you crossed the line nonetheless. But the easiest place to draw the line is just to say, don't take anything.
Yeah, I mean, 100,000, I mean, that's kind of a high number, but I've been in places where there's a stack of 20 signs of some kind. And then, you know, person A takes two, and the next guy takes two, and before long there aren't any signs. The best example is if you look at really popular exploration locations, such as the Whitby Psychiatric Hospital. That place is probably one of the most popular in all of Ontario. In fact, the last time I was there, I ran into five other exploration groups that were totally independent of our group. And you can see that the popularity has kind of gone overboard because every window is broken, everything has been smashed, everything you could possibly conceive of to break or damage or destroy has been done. There's graffiti everywhere. The location, I mean, I was there like a year before this last trip, and it was still in pretty bad shape, but totally different. So there's another argument for popularity being a negative impact on the hobby.
But on the other hand, we do have the opportunity to reach out to those people, talk to them, educate them. Like, you know, you and I have met people when we've been out exploring together, and we tell them, hey, check out our zine, check out our website, you know? And I don't know if they really did, but if they did, maybe they got a little bit of our perspective.
Yeah, I definitely try to educate people. I just went on an exploration not so long ago, and the people I was with took a whole bunch of stuff, and I was not impressed. I mean, I'm not going to basically slap their wrists and tell them to put it down, but I was like, this isn't such a good idea. If we get caught, this is kind of all of us who's going to get in trouble. They're not going to say, oh, look, you didn't steal anything, you're totally free. So it's kind of the group effort. I think a lot of people need to understand that for our hobby to be viewed in a slightly better light by the authorities, everybody should follow a very standard code of ethics, which is essentially don't take anything.
I really think that is the easiest path to take. If people can agree on that ahead of time, then you don't have to have these awkward arguments while you're in the middle of an exploration.
All right, that's it for our discussion today. Hopefully this has gained some insight for you into the world of urban exploration and ethics, popularity, and other related debates. Thank you for joining me, Ninj.
Always a pleasure.
Have a good evening. This is CUER, the Urban Exploration Radio Station.